Three songs back to back. To back. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Saving me, keeping me from my sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise his name. Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us live in you. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed
Jesus.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest woe, who any sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.
We're going to continue tonight, kind of a continuation of what we did in Bible class this morning. For those who are here and for those who might be guests tonight, what we're doing is celebrating this weekend Mike and Cherie and their time at Westside, 25 years now. And I've got some more questions I want to ask Mike tonight. It gives us insight, not only into him, into his family, into the work that they've done here at Westside for the last 25 years. And so we're going to continue with a few more questions tonight, again, with singing involved in this. Mike, I wanted to start tonight with the first question. If you could pick only one, and I'll give you some liberty here, but what hymn or song of praise would be your personal favorite?
See how nice Adam is? He is giving me some liberty. My personal favorite hymn is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross by Isaac Watts. I know it's an old one, and you can say Mike likes his songwriters dead, real dead, I guess. But every verse is just beautiful and poignant and focuses on Jesus, the cross, the need for us to humble ourselves in the presence of God, and the fact that everything the world has to offer is nothing compared to what God has to offer in Jesus. There are so many great songs and a number of new songs and songwriters that When I Go Home is a song we sing frequently here. How can you not love that song? So many songs like You Are My All in All. It's been around for a little while now, but the words to that song are so beautiful. For people that listen to a lot of music and you are familiar with Chris Tomlin, I think that he writes some of the most beautiful praise-oriented songs that you will find, lifting up the Lord. That's my thinking on this.
Okay, so let's stay in the kind of that theme of worship and now switch to sermons. Are there any particular sermons or a sermon series that you think were especially well received by the church here at Westside, and why do you think that?
The congregation here is very encouraging, but sometimes you realize that it really resonated with people. Talking about sermon series, which I have done with quite a bit of frequency over the years, two immediately come to mind, both of which were long series, but you stayed with me and the series the entire way. And both of those times, it just caused me to marvel. On both occasions, people talked about the series. Men would pray in public prayer about it, and folks would ask me what they needed to read from week to week. Y'all, the first series that comes to my mind is Spotlight on the Word, and where we took the entire year to go through the Bible, pretty much book by book in survey form. That was a blessing for me, and the response of the church here at Westside was nothing short of wonderful. Thank you. Another one that comes to my mind is The Week That Changed the World. That was a study of the last week of Jesus on earth, culminating in his crucifixion and the day or so after his resurrection. It was very well received. It was a tremendous amount of material when you think about it, and it too went the better part of a year. Most of you who've been here any length of time, I suspect, will remember those sermons. And I'm still asked about both of them by people, not just here at Westside, but elsewhere when I travel. I took the Spotlight on the Word material, utilized it with World Video Bible School, and every year when they have a Bible reading program that they put out, they also put the Spotlight on the Word series so that people can use it as they get into God's Word each year. It's amazing how things can be used in multiple ways. Those two things by way of longer series. I recall preaching several sermons on Acts here that were extremely well received. Opening Acts is what I called the series, and very well received as we went through the book of Acts in about five lessons at breakneck speed. I have to throw in a Bible class.
the class on godliness that we did earlier this year, suggested by the elders and for ladies, done by Cherie and Jan Larry, and the men's class being done by me and several different men in the congregation, I think it was extremely well received. I think of men who sent text messages. I think of Scott Allen there and Terry Pafford, and we had a number of guys that were texting one another about the study and insights, and it was very beneficial for me as one of the teachers and as a guy that had really basically put together the framework of the class to see how well received it was. And so much so that Cherie and I plan on taking that material, her doing this with the ladies and me doing it with the men, and putting it in book form and making it available for Bible study material for churches everywhere. That kind of response really let us know that there's a need for this.
I'm super happy to hear about that. I didn't know that was in the works. The last thing I want to ask before we have one of our shepherds lead us in a word of prayer, what would you say to, and I know this is really close to your heart, Mike, but what would you say to, and how would you encourage younger men about faithfully serving as preachers in the future?
Okay. Think of how Adam just worded that. How would you encourage younger men to faithfully serve as preachers of the truth, of the gospel, in the future? First of all, I would encourage young men to seek to become the best version of yourself that you can to the glory of God. God does not want you to be a clone of anybody. The men who serve God the most effectively are the best version of themselves that they can be to the glory of God. Because people are different. Personalities are different. Talents are different. And the cookie cutter approach to where every preacher looks the same, sounds the same, and acts the same is something that I think is a product of another time, because we appreciate genuineness and authenticity and being real. Be the best possible version. Think about becoming the best possible version of yourself to the glory of God. Be a man. That means integrity. It means maturity. It means stability whenever things get rocky and difficult. Be a man of God. You belong to Him. You're His man above anything or anybody. The idea of faithfully, you know, there's a lot more to faithfulness than most of us think. But let me put it this way. Can God trust you? Young men, be a man as you grow up that God can trust. And not only can He trust you, you trust Him too. That's something that will be evident. Adam addressed this question by using the word servant. If you are self-serving, you will only hurt the church. Too many preachers, under the guise of preaching and ministry, are self-serving and desire to build their own little kingdoms. And that will surely fail, or worse, it will seem to succeed for a time, only to fail, because God's still the King. The idea of sacrificial service, the idea of preaching, means that we have a message. We talk about 25 years here at Westside. Well, for the last 25 years, I have averaged preaching personally at least once a day. at least once preaching or teaching a day for over 25 years. You know what that means? Take 25 years, take 7 days, multiply it times 52, and it's 9,100. I have spoken here and elsewhere basically every day for 25 years. That's 9,100 lessons. How do you do it? You keep studying. You stay excited about God and His Word. And you think about the fact that every time you get up to preach or teach, young men, this is why preaching is the most awesome thing that you can ever do. And even if you only help a congregation periodically, think about how many young men here have come along that we would use in teaching classes or preaching occasionally. Several of them have now gone into full-time preaching, like Justin Bell yesterday or David Vestal this morning. But even if you don't, you're helping churches and blessing churches greatly. You get to help feed people's souls. They may not remember every lesson, but you make sure that you serve up what God cooks up. That way, every person ought to be able to say, "My compliments to the chef, God."
I trust that you will allow me to use a few notes from my iPad. There's things that I don't want to forget. And as I get more gray hair, I do that more often. But let's pray together. Thank you, merciful Father, that from the foundation of the world, you desire to have a relationship with man. And thank you that even before man sinned and separated himself from you, that you had set forth a plan to reconcile man back to you, to give him an opportunity to be right with you again and be close to you. We can read, Father, in Ephesians chapter 1 of this, when the Apostle Paul says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom." We thank you, Father, that our washing, our sanctification, our justification before you doesn't depend on us, but upon your kindness. For we can look at the book of Titus, and we can read that when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, it was not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy you have saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, merciful Father, that when our sins have separated us from you, we can read in the book of Isaiah that your hand's not too short to reach out to us, and your ear is always leaning toward us to hear us again. We thank you, Father, for that and the mercy that that shows us. Father, with those thoughts in mind, we reach out, as we reach out to the lost world around us, let us ever remember, and as Mike said about preachers, it's not about us. It's not about winning a scriptural argument, but it's about our relationship with you. It is about sharing the wondrous story of Jesus that we'll sing about in a few moments, the extension of his grace and how it has changed our lives. And then we've got a message to share with someone. Omnipotent Father, at this time, I would like to remember in prayer various missionaries and preachers that we support almost around the world, at least in the Western Hemisphere, but even down south. So we would like to bring a few of those before you at this time, and some of the particulars of their works and some of their struggles. At this time, we want to remember our brother Rod Kyle in general for the successful evangelistic efforts he's initiated throughout the South Pacific for decades now. Perhaps, Father, and we've looked at my 25 years, Brother Rod can probably almost double that. And he's always been about serving you and teaching the word to his native people. And at this time specifically, Father, we are seeking your blessings upon his trip to the Solomon Islands to strengthen the brethren there. Some of them I know. And Father, Brother Rod's so effective at it. I've seen it in person, how good he is at encouraging them and strengthening them and challenging them. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless him with safety, especially considering his health, and as he travels between those islands. Father, we're mindful of Denzel Roberts that we've supported here a long time, and his helper, his wife, Joan, as they evangelize lost souls and encourage brethren in the Caribbean. And they, like Rod, can't sit still. They go about various congregations encouraging and strengthening the brethren, especially on Nevis and St. Kitts. And Father, I think of both of these brothers are older, but yet both of them have the wisdom and are about it right now of seeking men who will follow in their footsteps and teaching and training and instructing and mentoring them that when they are long gone, that the church will be in good hands. And I pray that, dear God, that the church would be stronger and more vibrant and growing for decades to come after they have gone on to their reward. Father, because they've laid a good foundation, they have laid the foundation of a resurrected Lord. Father, we're mindful and very thankful for the fruitful work that is going on in India, effectively organized by our brother Mani Pajitapalli. I pray you'd bless them in the variety of efforts to meet the basic needs of the lost and the saved around them. Bless them, Father, in the training of vocational missionaries, vocational preachers who are going out. I believe they've trained 400 so far, who are spreading out across that very populous land. Bless them abundantly with the resources they need to continue that fruitful work. We also bring to your throne the effective work that is being done by the MANA Project, and all of these, Father, we support in some way. A project organized by our brother Gage Coldwater, who is very close to Adam and Julie. They are training indigenous men in places like Nepal and Tanzania and Uganda to preach the gospel, and at the same time teaching them a vocation so that they can be self-supporting and they can integrate themselves into their communities while at the same time teaching your word. We pray, we are thankful, Father, for the vision of such a brother as Brother Gage. Father, I pray that you bless our brother Raul Ferris as he successfully trains congregations in reaching out into their community across the brotherhood. And just a few days ago, I got a note from him that he's headed to Mexico in a few days, and I couldn't count the number of congregations that he said they were going to be involved with. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless those efforts richly and that that work will bear fruit, not just on that trip, but for years to come. Father, I pray that you'd help them as they reach out into their communities, and we look forward to hearing of the good things that you will accomplish through that effort. We thank you, Father, for the recent contacts that we had even here in Midland, in this neighborhood, and those who are being contacted and visited with already, that we might be able to share the gospel with them. And Father, speaking of Mexico, we're thankful for the fruitful work that is going on in Chapala, especially the work of Terry and Barbara, brother and Brother Salvador. We pray that you'd bless him especially as he ministers to men who have had addiction problems and helps them to rehabilitate. And there's no better way, Father, to do that than to bring them to you. We pray that you'd would bless their efforts. Thank you for Roger and Tammy's safe return from there as they were there a few days ago. Father, a little closer to home, our brother Jerry Hill. We love Brother Jerry as he seeks to strengthen the church in Spicewood, Texas. Bless them in their upcoming door-knocking efforts and as they reach out into the community. And comfort that family, dear God, that small church family who has lost four of their elderly members within the last month. And thank you that Brother Jerry was there to encourage them and strengthen them. Father, I look out across this congregation and think of many here and the generosity of their good stewardship, using the resources that you have given them to be given to the church. For without that, Father, we would not be able to reach out to any of these efforts except their generosity of what you've given them. So we thank you, Father, for the people here at this wonderful congregation. Father, in turning our hearts to this neighborhood around us, may we never forget the promise, and yes, it's a promise. In John chapter 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Father, that's a promise. And if we do that genuinely, this neighborhood will see that we care for each other. And Father, as I close this prayer, I'm mindful of the concept that our brother Joe Prieto often prays in his prayer. May the love of our Lord and the grace of our Savior be reflected in our lives, that others may see and know that we have been with Jesus. And it's through his name we pray. Amen.
Recently, Brother Mike bought me some breakfast, and we were discussing how we were going to do things today with Bible class and with worship tonight. And he said, I think we need a theme. I think we should use a theme. And he said, what do you think about a wonderful Savior? So all the songs revolving around the theme of a wonderful Savior, it is good for us to sing that together tonight. We'll sing a couple more songs, and then I'll ask Mike a couple more questions. If you're able, would you be standing now as we sing together, A Wonderful Savior, three verses.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love. And shadows meet there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Thank you. You may be seated. I will sing the wondrous story.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
All right, Mike, let's have a little fun with this one. If you could speak godly wisdom to your younger self, as a man, as a teenager, or a man with small children, what counsel would you give to your younger self?
Well, one thing I would say to my younger self is, Mike, please don't take yourself so seriously. And then, on the other hand, I would say, Mike, you need to take yourself more seriously in other areas. One thing is sure. If I could talk to my younger self, I would say, you need patience, especially with yourself, because I wanted to try to cram as much time and experience and knowledge in my body, and it was aiming too high. You don't get 50 years of experience and wisdom in a 25-year-old person's body. You have to have life and experience and being patient. Sometimes you need to think about the fact that Jesus had a 3-year ministry in a lifetime of about 33 years. And that Paul had lived some time and gotten quite a bit of education and learning and experience under his belt before he ever became the apostle to the Gentiles. One of the things, and Sheree would probably tell you this, I could not wait to get into local work. I could not wait to get out of Freed Hardeman. I could not wait to be free to do God's work. But you know, preparing yourself is also part of God's work, isn't it? Learning, growing, gaining life experience. There's a place for that too.
Here's where I'd like to give you as many minutes as you want to talk about souls here at Westside in the last 25 years who have gone on to be with the Lord, onto their reward. And who are some of those that you think about that have passed on now, and how they blessed you and your family and the church here?
One year I did 36 funerals. I guess it would be fair to say that I probably had at least 20 funerals a year. You stop and think about that. That's a lot of people. I mention a few, and I single them out because when you put them together collectively, I hope that they will represent well so many of those that have gone on in the last 25 years here at Westside. Some will be well known to a number of you, others less so. Let me begin with Shirley Vest. She was known as Granny Shirley to everybody in the congregation. Anita McKee's mother, Gavin McKee, grandmother, Ryland's grandmother. She not only had to deal with a lot of heartache in her life, she had to deal with cancer. She not only had to deal with heartache and cancer, she had to deal with Guillain-Barré. And basically, when she suffered from that, she had to learn how to walk and kind of how to read again, as memory helps me to think about her. Anita would tell you that at that time, she wasn't very faithful to the Lord. And I know Mom was working on her. And sometimes pretty forthrightly, because Granny Shirley could do that. Granny Shirley would bring Gavin to services here. Now you think about that young man and the effective servant of God that he is. One life. Can make an impact on so many people's lives. Granny Shirley, Shirley Vest. We need to remember those that have gone on. One of the advantages of being at a place a number of years is that you get to know those people, love those people. And when they leave this life, you have lost a friend and family member too. I have experienced that here at Westside well over 200 times in the last 25 years. I know what it's like to hurt with you and to rejoice with you. Grace Rose Register. There is a room there that we call the Grace Rose Register Library. It's a memorial to this little girl's life. Devin and Stacy Register's daughter, Emmeline's big but little sister now. Grace Rose Register was born with Cockayne syndrome, which is a very rare disease. It's the aging disease. Grace Rose Register, I don't think, ever spoke a word, but she could communicate really, really well. The relationship she and Stacy had as mother-daughter was incredible to see, and how they would relate. Devin and Stacy showed their mettle and their faith and more by their love for their daughter. And I will always love and respect them for that. Grace does had a way, every time you were around her, of making you think about how amazing God is. Because Grace Rose Register lived a lot longer than she probably should have. But she lived longer than she should have and was butterbean to them and a butterfly to so many people. She was just a wonderful little lady. And she made me think of Jesus. Let the little children come to me. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Lori Arredondo. You couldn't help but love the Arredondo family. I know you miss your mom. I know you miss your wife. But the impression, even though you had not been at Westside very long, the impression this family made on Westside continues to this moment and will continue for a long time. Mm-hmm. In no small measure due to Lori. She dealt with cancer with tremendous faith. I know she had to get down. But I tell you what, that was one strong lady, but her strength was ultimately in the Lord. She would be so proud of you. And when I listen to Daryl and to Austin pray, and they remember people like Kristen and others who are dealing with cancer and other diseases, they know and they care. They are a tribute to a godly woman. She left us too soon, but she went to be with the Lord. Adam did one of the finest jobs that I've ever heard anyone do as he spoke at her memorial service. But you know what? She made our job a whole lot easier. She really did. I look forward to seeing her in glory. And thank you for blessing us and sharing her with us. Thank you. Gwen Lorenz. Jim and Gwen were like Aquila and Priscilla at Westside. They're a team. And while Jim's alone, he knows he's not alone. Probably the Lord is telling Gwen a thing or two, and she is smiling. I will not forget looking at the assembly on the day of Gwen Lorenz's funeral and asking every young person or adult who had been taught by Gwen Lorenz in our Bible classes to raise their hand. And it was probably half of the assembly at her funeral. The power of one life to touch so many. Wilbur and Carolyn Harkness, Jan's mom and dad, the mother and father in love of Milton. What an incredible couple, but they were incredible in that they were so real and so normal in so many ways. Just good people. 25 plus years ago now, Cherie and two younger children and I went into their home for about 10 days before we moved into our home. They made us feel so welcome. Wilbur served as a shepherd here and in Houston for many years. He and Carolyn were married over 70 years. In World War II, he flew a B-29 bomber and flew 44 missions, and he began doing so right after they got married. You'd never hear him talk about any of those things. But as much of a patriot as he was for this country, he was someone that I looked up to and loved because of his trust in God. Carolyn was as quick-witted and as able to take care of Wilbur when he misbehaved, which was rather frequent. That was another thing I loved about him. And what a marvelous, marvelous couple. I have tried, by mentioning these, not to leave out someone, because there's been so many wonderful people that have gone to be with the Lord here. But I wanted to give a representation of the type of people that I've been blessed to know during our time here. People that have invested in the church here at Westside and made it what it is today.
I appreciate you graciously answering that. I want to ask one more before we have another of our shepherds lead us in a prayer. And it is on the topic of prayer. When I think about you, Mike, and I think so many of us here would say the same, we think about praying with you and you praying with us. I wonder, how has praying blessed your ministry, and how has preaching helped your praying?
All right. That is a question we asked the elders a year and a half ago, Lynn and Terry, when we honored them, and I'm glad that I'm given the opportunity to answer it as a preacher. How does prayer help your preaching, and how does preaching help your praying? Acts chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the apostles said, "We will give ourselves continuously to the word of God and to prayer." I know some preachers who are pretty good handling the word. No slouches are they. But I don't know that I would come and ask them to teach me how to pray like the apostles asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. We have schools of Bible study. We have schools of preaching. Maybe we need to invest more time in our schools and in our churches in the school of prayer, too. Be devoted to prayer, Romans 12 and verse 12. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Men ought always to pray and faint not, Luke 18:1. Strive with me in your prayers, Romans 15 and verse 30. I decided many years ago that yes, I wanted to be known as a Bible preacher, as a God-centered preacher. But I also thought it was right to have a couple of legs on that chair. The other leg needed to be prayer. And I wanted my children and I wanted my wife and I wanted my family and my friends to know me as a person of prayer. To the same degree that they thought of me as a person of the Word. Because the two come together to make us men and women of God. Without them, no wonder why we struggle. Without both of them being balanced and emphasized. You may, given your personalities and your proclivities, lean to one a little more than the other. Some are more studious by nature. You know, we've got people that are full-time students. There's a place for that. but also be a full-time student in the school of prayer. Some people like to talk to God, but don't like to listen to God very much in His Word. Both are essential to really be men and women of God.
Will you bow with me? Most righteous Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time thanking you so much for those that are members of this congregation, those that have been members of this congregation and have done excellent job of teaching us that remain, have done an excellent job of keeping us on the right track and pushing us forward. Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for many things. One of the things I'll mention is the fact that this congregation is in a location, the Permian Basin, where we are richly blessed because of oil. Many of us, if not all of us, are affected by that. Many of the men of this congregation work in the oil business, and those of us that don't work in the oil business probably do something to take care of those that are. Because of that, we are financially capable, as you know, to help others with money and to help those that want to be ministers of yours financially and to help missionaries abroad, as has already been talked about. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing that brings. Heavenly Father, we also want to thank you for the talents that you've given us, and as much represented in the thoughts this evening, those that have talent to be able to teach, those that have talent to be able to lead us in the right direction. Heavenly Father, I think of the young people of this congregation and the guidance that they need. Some have gone on to be with you, to be in paradise, that were excellent at giving that guidance. And so it's up to those of us that are still here to continue to do that. We pray that we continue to help these young people understand that many of the most important decisions that they'll make in their life are decisions that they'll make when they're fairly young. Decisions like who they will marry. Even more important, decisions like who they will worship and how they will go about doing that, and even decisions about what they will do with their lives, how they will make a livelihood. We pray that as we teach classes and they look at us that are older, that they will see great examples as to how they need to answer those questions. Heavenly Father, we pray that we always remember that our example is being seen, even when we don't realize it is being when we're not being looked at. Heavenly Father, we pray that for this community and for those that we help support in mission fields, that they see that we are truly, truly wanting to further your kingdom, and we are wanting to praise you and teach them and help them also praise you as the true God that you are. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this congregation and those that that teach us. We're thankful for the series of studies that we've had. We pray that you be with us as we continue to look to your word. Heavenly Father, help us to take that guidance that we teach, the guidance that we read about, and we use it in our daily lives. Heavenly Father, give us patience and give us the ability to speak when we need to speak, and give us the ability to not show or be upset when things don't go the way we would like for them to. Help us to be encouragers and not discouragers. Heavenly Father, these things I pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Tell you what, guys, let's do this. Let's go to the next song. Go to the next song. Hallelujah, what a Savior. There we go. We will sing this song before the Lord's Supper meditation and the supper is served. Let's sing together. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Good evening. If you're in need of the emblem this evening, if you would raise your hand. This morning we looked at two statements from each side of the cross. I'd like to go back there again just to remind us of how truly powerful and how truly great our God is. The first statement we find in Matthew chapter 27. It is a statement made by the centurion who stood at the base of the cross as Jesus gave up his life for us. It's a statement by a hardened soldier who had witnessed more crucifixions than any of us will ever see. And in that moment, after seeing the darkness, after seeing all of Jesus' statements, after feeling an earthquake and Jesus yielding up his spirit, his response, truly, this was the Son of God. He saw by Jesus' show of compassion, by his show of love, by his show of being that tender lamb, that truly he bore the characteristics of the God that he claimed to be. The second statement we find in John chapter 20 and verse 25. This is after Jesus has been buried and raised again. And this comes from one of the apostles, one of the 12 who had been with him throughout his entire ministry. And in disbelief and in grief, Thomas would say that unless he's able to put his hands in those nail holes and put his hand in his side, he wouldn't believe. And so Jesus, some days later, walked through a closed door and told Thomas, "Put your hand here. See my nail scars. Put your hand here in my side." Thomas's response, "My Lord and my God." Both of these proclamations of affirmation, seeing that Jesus truly was who he said he was. Today, as we gather around this table, we continue to recall to our mind that truly this is the Son of God and how he is our Lord and our God. Paul would write to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Today we continue to proclaim, truly, this was the Son of God, my Lord and my God. At this time, let's pray for the bread. Our great and glorious Heavenly Father, it humbles us to know that you had a plan from the beginning to redeem us back to you, to purchase broken and beaten merchandise for full price, with the highest price, with your Son. Father, our mind's eye tonight reflects back to that cross, to see his body that was beaten, to hear the cries of "Crucify him," and yet to see him as the compassionate and perfect lamb that he was, and that he continues to be, making intercession for us. Father, we're grateful for the love that you showed in sending Jesus to this earth. We're grateful for his humility and him being willing to be hung on a cross. Father, as we partake of this bread, we pray your blessing upon it. It's through his holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again for the cup. Heavenly Father, we know that without the shedding of blood, there could be no remission of sin. Father, we're grateful that we live under the new covenant in which one sacrifice has covered our sins. Father, as we think back to the cross at this time, we think about Jesus' perfect blood spilling down and pooling up at the base of the cross. Father, we thank you for his willingness to be a perfect sacrifice. Father, we're grateful that he took all of the barrage of beatings that he had to endure, and yet he held true to your plan. Father, we pray your blessing upon this cup. It's through your holy and precious Son's name that we pray. Amen.
If you don't mind, brother, call a bit of an audible here. And I want to conclude with two questions that I want to combine together, and we'll be led in a prayer by Troy, and then I'll get up and say something. Two questions, Mike, that kind of come together. Number one, again, we're not going anywhere, but I want to ask you this question. How would you like to be remembered? And then to follow that or couple that, how would you want Westside to be remembered? What would be a word of counsel that you would give to Westside for years to come?
First part, how would I want to be remembered? Four expressions quickly. Thankfully, they're self-explanatory. man of God, man of the Word, church man, family man. There really should be a peaceful coexistence among those three. And really, I don't see how one can be a man of God who doesn't also want to be a family man and a church man and a man of the Word. The second part, what would I pray and hope for the church at Westside in the future? I would hope that we would continue to be amazed at what God does in people's lives through our efforts and what He's doing in us at the same time. I hope that we would continue to emphasize, I guess, what you could say we do well. And there are a number of things we ought to be humbled by that and thank God for His strength and grace and blessing. I would hope that we would be more racially diverse and culturally diverse, and that in years to come, the church that meets here at Westside would better reflect the makeup of Midland, Texas and its population. I would hope that this would be a place where there's diversity and yet that there's phenomenal unity, because God and His Word hold us together even though we have different backgrounds and different cultures and maybe even different skin tones. I would hope that we would want to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, as we bow before You at this time, I'm mindful of the edification and the encouragement that each one of us has as part of the family here at Westside. Lord, we're mindful of the scriptures and the patterns and the thoughts of utilizing our spiritual gifts, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, to edify one another. And Lord, it amazes me that the many talents that we have here at Westside and how often we are edified by those different talents. You know, as we celebrated this weekend and reflected and recognized the 25 years of service of Brother Mike and Sister Cherie, it amazes me as we honor them and as we reflected on their time with us that those gifts shone out even more. And that each one of us, I would venture to say, myself included, have been blessed by the time we've been able to spend with each other this weekend. Lord, we're mindful that that is how You would have us to be. That we would be able to edify one another. That the body of Christ would always grow in love. That's my prayer for the congregation here at Westside. That we continue to grow in love for one another. That we continue to grow in love for others. That we truly reflect Your Son and our Savior in every step of our walk in life. But Lord, I'm mindful as well as the efforts that this congregation has taken, especially this year, and over the many years that we've been supporting preacher students, but the encouragement that this congregation has taken a hold of and has really been driving to encourage the young men and their wives that are training themselves up, that one day they will be utilizing their talents to help spread Thy word. Lord, we're mindful of the partnership we have with those at Southwest, with Brother Andy Reyes and his second year there. Lord, we know that he's over halfway there, Lord. He'll finish up and be going to work for you in the kingdom. I know he looks forward to it. May he have that patience to continue to study thy word and prepare himself to keep his mind on the goal ahead of him, that he has a long and useful service, a life of service to you. But we're mindful of Brother Trey Jenkins and Brother Blake and Sister Marissa Norman as well. They started their first year. Lord, we're mindful that the excitement, the zeal that they have currently, we pray that they maintain that, they continue to strive to educate themselves, to be prepared to work for you in the kingdom. And Lord, we're mindful of our partnership we have with Bear Valley. What a great partnership it is that we currently serve or supporting 5 students there. We're mindful of Brother Chant and Sister Hannah Parker and Brother Caleb Pierce. Brother Chant and Brother Caleb, both in their second year, similar to Brother Andy, getting ready to venture out into the kingdom to be working for you. Pray that you continue to be with them. We're mindful of our first year students, Brother Tyler and Sister Abby Ray, Brother Talon and Sister Mia Pivovar, and Brother Dustin and Sister Catty Boyd. Again, 3 more family units here that are striving in their first year. They're excited. They have that zeal for you. May they maintain that as well. But Lord, we're mindful of the efforts of this congregation to encourage all these young men and their wives that are taking hold of the task at hand to serve you. But more, Lord, we're also mindful of the years and years of support, the years and years of encouragement that has been offered by this congregation and sending Brother Mike to Bear Valley and that strong partnership there. We know that many great things will come from those efforts. Lord, we recognize that through these efforts that each one of us have a part in, that we are truly training up future generations of preachers to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, as we're told to do in Mark 16:15. And Lord, we ask that you continue to be with each one of those. And Lord, there's many others we're mindful of that at this time, of those that we are currently supporting, that we are partnering with. And again, Lord, your wisdom of edifying one another. It's unbelievable how through your wisdom and through our edifying these young men, the feedback of the congregation, the feedback from many here, myself included, it's amazing how encouraged we have been by offering that encouragement to these that are at these schools currently. May that partnership continue to grow. May we continue to encourage those young men. May we always seek to help encourage them that they can answer that question. Their answer would be, "Here am I, send me." Lord, we know that there is many opportunities throughout the world over to spread that gospel. May we encourage those always who plan to be just that mechanism to spread thy word, both in local works and foreign works. Again, Lord, we're grateful for the opportunity we've had this weekend. What an encouragement it's been. And as a shepherd of this congregation, it is my prayer that we will always seek to encourage each other, that we will always maintain that unity, and that we will always strive to put you first in everything that we do. Pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
We've sung about and thought about tonight a wonderful Savior. We certainly don't want to leave this building tonight without extending the invitation to come to a wonderful Savior. And tonight, if you're sitting in this audience and you're thinking about Jesus, and you're thinking about His church, and you're thinking about yourself and your soul, and you look in the mirror tonight and you don't find yourself right with Jesus, our Savior, the invitation is extended to you. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me." Tonight, if you need to come to the Lord in faith, repentance, and baptism, that invitation is extended to you, and we would love for you to come to be added by the Lord to His church. Tonight, if you as a Christian are examining yourself and you're thinking about, maybe I'm not the godly person I need to be, or maybe I'm not a person of the Word, or maybe I'm not really a church man or a church woman, or I've not been doing things the way that I need to do with my family. Tonight, if we can pray with you, if we can encourage you in any way, won't you please come now while together we stand and while we sing. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Now we will let Mike be off of the hot seat. We have loved this weekend. We're so thankful. I hope that you feel the love of Westside. And Mike and Cherie, we just love and appreciate you so much. We're grateful for 25 years of service. We're looking forward to many, many more. And as the Lord wills, we appreciate y'all very, very much. And Tricia, where is Tricia? No? Oh, okay, she stepped out. Is she? Did anybody know where the meeting is going to be? Is it fellowship room? Anybody know? Let's go fellowship room. Fellowship room, ladies. That's where the meeting will take place. And again, thank you so much. Guests, we're glad that you've been here tonight. Anything final you want to say tonight?
Good night, everybody.
All right.
You are dismissed.
You are dismissed.